Buenos días. I'm going to try to speak, preach in English today. I don't normally preach in English. My world is in Spanish. But yes, actually, it was 25 years ago. Who has been here for more than 25 years? Oh, the people on the back. Did you have sections here? So 6 months, you know, 25. Right? Just saying. Wow. Yes, like I said, my name is Alex Rivero. I am from Venezuela. That's my native country, and I have work with Hispanics all over the Western United States. I am married to Nancy for 30 years. Nancy was born in Argentina, raised in Glendale, California. I don't know if you guys know any. And then my father-in-law, my ancestors are from Spain. And my father-in-law was a Persian Jew born in Cairo, Egypt. And my mother-in-law, she was born in Kiev, the Ukraine. What are my kids? You have three kids. And my three kids are born in Clovis Hospital. Okay, so yeah, I want to make that connection. 20 years ago, we moved back to Southern California, to Thousand Oaks. And yes, I think there is Thousand Oaks in my city, maybe more. But and that's what we have been ministering. I work with all peoples, means multicultural, multigenerational, Hispanics, Koreans. You still have a huge population of Hmong, Vietnamese, right? That was 20 years ago. I don't know if they're still here. The only thing I noticed is that when I came today, I mean, Clovis Avenue used to be the border. It used to be like you cross Clovis and there was just farm. And I just drove through Clovis and said, where is Clovis Avenue? And I said, it's like inner city. Clovis Avenue. Now, this is growing. 25 years ago, yes, this used to be the church and land all around, you know, away from anything else. I went to MBBS. I bet you don't know what that is. Mennonite Brethren Biblical Seminary. You know, we have Mennonite power up here, you know. Are you a Mennonite? Okay. And by the way, this is a conversation. I'm Hispanic. So if you want to say amen, that's okay. If you want to clap or something or interrupt me, I'm okay with that. And that's the way we do. So we attended a few times. We attended when I used to be, I went to MBBS. I graduated with my master's in divinity back in 94. That's a long time ago. And then I was a teacher in Ridley at Emmanuel High School, Mennonite. And then I got hired to work at Fresno Christian, which is not that far from here. And that's how we actually make connection with this church. Back in those times, our superintendent used to attend this church. And so that's why we connected. I don't remember his name. Oh yeah, see, there's a few people who, okay. And Mr. Schultz. Gary Schultz was the principal. Anyway, those are good times, good memories. I love Fresno. I love Clovis. Part of my heart. We were here for 10 years. It's supposed to be three. We were here for 10 years because his plans are not my plans. And that's something that we need to learn today. So I see that you don't have a clock here. There's no clock where I... Where? Oh, up there. Okay, we need a bigger one. My house and my church, I have a full-time with the district. I work with Tim, a group of other five. Actually, Pablo was here two weekends ago, and Sochil was here, his wife, and she works with part of the team. But I'm also a part-time pastor. I used to be a Hispanic pastor at the Bridge, EV Free Church in Newberry Park. Thousand Oaks, which is actually there's a bridge here too, in Fresno. I know they like that name. Everybody said, let's change bridge, Clovis. Okay? No, no, don't go there. Okay, but that is that's where I am actually working as the part-time executive pastor of my church, where we have integrated. We have English-speaking, Spanish-speaking, two congregations all together in one. And then we have a 10 o'clock in English and a 11:45, which is about to start right now, 11:45 in Spanish. So we have get to that level of trying to integrate, and it's fun, especially when we have to eat all together. You know, we have a lot of festivities. By the way, 36% of the population in Clovis is Hispanic. Did you know that? Just saying. I mean, let me give it to you. You can think about it. Okay. So my conversation today is going to be short. It's not going to be an hour. Okay. So oh man, an hour listening to Alex with his accent. Yeah. But it was going to be short. I had to be making it more crazy in my life. I had to be in San Jose Airport by 3 o'clock. Okay. So do you think I can make it? We're done. Okay. But so it's not going to be an hour, but I want to present the gospel to you through the walls of Jericho. Okay. Jericho is a fascinating story. Actually, we can spend a whole day studying Jericho. But it's not so much about Jericho. It's about what Joshua and the people actually did. Did you pay attention to what the Hebrew says? Hebrew says that the walls fall down because of what? There's a key word there. By faith. Oh, somebody was paying attention. So by faith, okay? And that is something that that's the 25 years lying up there. Yeah. And so let's keep that in mind, because we can actually get all worked up on the wall and how big the wall was and everything that happened surrounding this situation. But let's get into the word. And I hope you can keep your Bible open. I'm going to concentrate on the first six verses. The first six. And we already read them, so I'm not going to read them again for the sake of time. But I'm going to be telling you the story. It is a fascinating story. Jericho was so famous on those days that, imagine this, this is a city that is so strong in their walls that they didn't care about defending it. They did not, because they were trusting on their walls so strong that when people came and attacked them, they didn't actually worry about, because there is no way they can get through these walls. There's actually two sets of walls, and they're actually in a mountain. I have been there twice in Jericho. Yeah, it's Palestinian territory today. But I have been there twice, and it's fascinating because it's the same question. I've been there twice, and there is people that continue to ask the guy who is guiding us through, the tour guide. And they asked the same question twice. You know what was the question? Where are the walls? Where are the walls? You know, because when you go to Israel, you pay $5,000 to go and see ruins, rocks and walls, no? And I was laughing and say, because it's the same guy that we use. And he said, well, guess what? The walls are down. And everybody laughed, but I was the same question: where are the walls? But here's don't know if you, I don't know if in Clovis, did you guys actually put a wall around your house? Do you have a fence around your house in Clovis? Why? Is a crime so difficult? Why? But it is something that we always do, even though we are in the middle of the farms. We put a fence to protect what? What is the logic about building a fence or a wall? And the Bible actually says to keep people from coming in and from going out. Isn't that amazing? I come from Latin America. If you want to know more about this, you go down to LA, you know, and you can see East LA. I was there in Downey, and you see everybody has fences and dogs and alarms and cameras everywhere. You were born in LA, right? So do you have a fence just like you have, you know? But we do, and we want to keep people from coming in and from people from coming out. That gives us a sense of security. Well, do we need to put a fence? You have a beautiful property. I remember this property, and I came and said, wow, still the same. The trees are grown, right? But do we need to put a fence around our church? Okay? Because our security is on the Lord. It's on God. Our security is on God. And that's how we move. Now, number one, if you want to take notes, I think you have it in the bulletin. I don't know if it's in the overhead or not, but there is number one. The one thing I see in the first verse, two verses, is the decision that Josh has to make. Joshua had to make a decision. And he followed, because he's a leader, he followed and everybody else follow him. Okay? Because he is the leader. Okay? Now, the first thing I see, number one, if you want to write this, is we need to get used to God's way of doing things. He does things that are different. Sometimes, or most of the times, they are different than the way I'm thinking. Because I make my plans. Don't we make plans every morning, or every week, or every month? I was already planning. I have an event already scheduled for June of 2024. And worse than whom? Somebody say worse. And that's I'm Hispanic, because Hispanic are famous for not planning anything. We just go the way it goes, okay? But I guess I'm way too American now. But it's beyond our strategy. That is a word, beyond our strategy. Joshua, listen to, here's what God says. Josh, this is my story. Josh, you see that big city? The big walls? And people making fun of you up there? Because if I was a soldier of Jericho, and I see these people coming into, and I see them walking around my city, what would you think? What would you do? And I try to imagine this. I am here in the tower, looking at those people walking and not doing anything. And I'm just telling the story. They're quiet. The only thing that they heard was the sounds of what? Of the trumpets, the shofar. And what are these people doing? Okay, for now, put yourself on Joshua's. They're getting ready. They have been getting ready for 40 years. They were ready for this. Let's take over the land. It's a promised land. Let's take it. Okay, bring the arrows, bring the fire, because you know how they used to take over a city in those days, in ancient Israel, in ancient times? They surrounded the city and make them starve to death. That's basically what they did. They will find the weakest place on the wall and put out a fire, make a tunnel. They will find ways. But yeah, there's a city, a famous city that we have in history. It's called Masada. Remember that? Masada was one of those cities. And it took the Romans 2 years and 15,000 Roman soldiers to take over a city that was less than 1,000 people for 2 years until they built the ramp. By the way, if you ever go to Israel, go to Masada. That is a site that you need to go. And the ramp is still there where the Romans actually went up. I trying to go down the ramp, and they said, no, Alex, you cannot do. You're Hispanic. You're crazy. Don't do that. Okay? But the strategy was laid out by God himself. Was God the one making the strategy? Oh, we just had to protect ourselves about this. because how many times I do the project. And by the way, oh God, by the way, are you okay with this? Because if you're not okay, I'm going to be mad. Instead of what? So Joshua actually listened to God. And he, I think he remembered that 40 years ago, 40 years before that particular time, the same thing happens. Remember what happened 40 years before that? They were in the same place. God is giving them the land. And they question it. And that is, I think that is, because by faith we walk. By faith we walk. So as we look into our life, and this is what the strategy was laid out by God himself, and the strategy actually seemed foolish to anybody, that we're going to walk around the city for how long? One day? We're going to attack overnight? No. No, you're going to be walking around the city once a day for 6 days. And you're going to be quiet. Now, if I was a soldier on that wall, I'd be throwing rocks at them. Don't you think? I would be making fun of them. Don't tell me that I am the only one thinking about that. I'd be throwing rocks and, you know, hamburgers going down, you know, tamales, whatever, just to make them, you know. Okay, but can you imagine? So soldiers and priests marching quietly, and they hear the shofar. That's it. That's all they did. And the seventh day, well, we're going to get there, right? But that took, and here's two words for you on this first point: discerning and patient. If you want to write something down, it's just those two. And the first, on God's way. When God asks us to wait, to, Lord, what should I be doing about this? Have you ever prayed that way? Lord, God, what can I do? Be your will be done according to my point of view. And that's what we made the problem. Because Joshua couldn't have complained and questioned God. And they were probably going back to 40 years. Because that's what he remembers. Okay? So sometimes, and I don't know if you're making a decision this week or in your life, you're getting a point where you have, or as a church. Hey, by the way, I was really surprised that it took so long for you to greet each other this morning. Is that normal, Caesar? Because in a normal church, it's about 5 seconds. I saw Caesar went up there. Some of you guys hug. Some of you guys were talking. Is that normal? Come on, tell me, because I want to learn about this. You are very unique on this. This is very unique. And I congratulate you. It is what makes you. Somebody came and said hi to me and said, this is what makes us family. Amen to that? Amen. Or did you just did it for me today? Caesar. Wow. I know, because normally, let me tell you, the most awkward, that's what they say. Not for the Hispanics. But for Anglos, the most awkward moment in a Sunday service is when somebody comes in, let's go and greet each other. Say hi to somebody, like, oh, introvert people, oh no, you know. But I congratulate you for doing that. That is wonderful. I'm going to, in my church, I don't have a problem. In my Hispanic congregation, I don't have a problem with that, second service, we call it, because it takes forever. And I mean, we have to turn the lights off and so for them, they go and get coffee. Like, really? We're in the middle of the service, okay? But I do believe that that is the type of community that Josh had created. When they saw that, okay, God, he probably thought about this. God, this doesn't make any sense. but I'm going to do it anyway. So, discerning and patient. Okay? We have to make a decision as a church. Okay, let's walk. Let's, you know, walking is not like, you know, let's take the time. Because I do believe that the people of Israel thought about a lot and pray a lot on those 6 days. Going around. You got the point? I got the point. Okay? My thoughts, Isaiah says, for my thoughts are not my thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So for us to be successful in this walking in life, because either way we're walking, you survive COVID, right? In COVID, we didn't greet each other. I hope that you didn't do that. You're like, stay away from me, you know? Okay? But it's been a success already. You have walked through the valley of death and darkness for those 2 years of, I don't know how Clovis reacted to this, but in Southern California, that was, and then we had the discussion about mask or no mask. I don't know if you have it here, okay? Freedom or no freedom, and then the whole thing went downhill from there. I think we have more casualties for those type of discussion, political discussion, than actually COVID itself. But that is Southern California. You guys are holy and perfect up here, okay? So number one, even though we don't think the plan is the way I think, we should be walking with the Lord, discerning and with patience. Amen to that? Amen. Number two, God's way, it requires something from the people. Because I call it faithful obedience, which is actually goes beyond our comprehension. Okay? Now, God have all the plans for us, but if we don't have faith and obey upon it, nothing happens to us. So, and somehow we do have the power of messing around, messing everything up, or actually doing the way he wants us to. And we, like I said, we are humans. I am a pastor, but I fight God many times. When I became a believer back in Venezuela, and I wanted to be first I wanted to be a fireman. Because I didn't want to be speaking in front of people. Think about that. I grew up with a disability. I couldn't talk. Like Moses. And when God said, go and do this, I can't talk. I can't even talk in Spanish. What are you talking about? I know better than you. And then I went and said, okay, I'm not going to be a fireman. I'm going to be a psychologist. Because I want to analyze people. I'm manipulating you with my silence. Okay? And I was going to university. And then I said, God, is this what you want me to do? I want to serve you. He called me for ministry. And I said, really? I'm like Jonah. I'm going away from... So, and then he said, be careful. My pastor said, be careful when you offer yourself to God. Or you actually ask his opinion. Because he knows better. Even though it doesn't make sense. So you know what? I left psychology. I left the school. And I went to Bible college. And everybody was against that. Even my own family. Because they're no believers. They were no believers. I was the only believer. And they said, Alex, that makes no sense. You just decide to go from rich to poor. That's how they decide. It doesn't make any sense. What are you going to be walking around the city? Are you crazy? Let's get a sniper and take over, right? An airplane. Okay, let's go take over during the night. Okay? Strategy. And then the next one was, I am the never person. I said, God, I will never move to the United States of America. I'm here for 30 years. Okay? And My wife said she will never marry a Latin. Okay? And here God has some sense of humor. Okay? And got out together. And then when we got married in Burbank, California, we were thinking, okay, we're going to stay in Southern California. Then God said, you're moving to Fresno. My wife was crying. No, just kidding. Because, you know, there's a kind of understanding about Central Valley, you know. Ooh, we go to Fresno when we go to Yosemite. But we're not stopping Fresno, you know. But we were here for 10 years. So I think I learned the lesson. But we actually continue sometimes that God's way requires faithful obedience. Okay? It is an intimate relationship that has three words. Okay, I gave you patience and discernment on the first one. This one has three words if you want to write it. First one is grace. Second one is faith. And the third one is obedience. The grace of God, two amazing highlights on this passage is that once Joshua said, we are going to walk around the city, who are the first one that stand up and walked? The priest. That is amazing. It wasn't the soldier. Even though, if you continue reading the story, yes, the soldiers took over and they walked before. I guess the priests were walking too slow and the soldiers went in front. And there were soldiers after that, the bodyguards. Because not only that they took the priest with the shofars, they took the ark. God was present with them. You know what I learned from that? I mean, I know this is narrative and it's a story. But you know what I learned from this? That when I began to obey God and walking in the way he wants, he walked with me. He's present in my decision making. He is there. He never said, go, Alex, go and do it yourself. He is with me. And by the way, we are all, according to Peter, we are all high priests, royal priesthood. Amen to that? Now you can say amen. Don't, you're not going to scare me. Okay? But we are. So think about as a church. Think about church as Clovis. With a beautiful facility. If I was the pastor here, I would have a soccer field up there. You have so much land. What about in the back? Is that all yours in the back? I got lost. I drove over there. Wow, a football field up there. Pickleball. Now, because now pickleball is number one, remember? Forget about soccer and football. Pickleball. I put my muscle last week. Playing pickleball. I'm getting old. But pickleball in Southern California is like number one sports now because everybody can play. Okay? Let's make a pickleball club here and bring people to Christ. But we have to build something, right? But I will say that what is Jericho and what is Josh and what is God telling us as a congregation? For the future. You survived COVID. I was in another church that also has some issues. They lost their pastor and for the last 5 years. And they were so complicated that no pastor wanted to be there. And I said, you guys, you know, you have survived COVID. You're still standing. We're still standing, right? And we're still standing as a church. And there's a great energy. I don't know what happened last night here. Maybe you guys have too much pumpkin pie, but there was a lot of energy this morning. What I'm saying is, maybe you're thinking Clovis is too big of Jericho. And we're just a tiny little church with a big property. But I would say, hey, it's time to march. And it's time to march. It's just my input for today. I want you to come out today saying, yes, we can do it. I think we can do it because God is with us. You worship God here. Great music today. Great fellowship. Okay? Just don't go hugging people that are coming new because you're just going to scare them. But it's a community that is growing. I will say, like I tell, I mean, we hear the statistics and the news. Fresno and Clovis is one of the fastest growing urban areas in the state of California. And it's going to continue growing. Okay? People are leaving Southern California. They're moving. My daughter moved to Boise, Idaho. She cannot afford to buy a property in Southern California. Okay? And there, some people are leaving, but actually, this Central Valley is actually growing. And somehow, people don't want to leave. Okay? Well, that's good news, right? Because they all need Jesus. It's a big Jericho. But we have God in front of us. So we need to have faith. We need to obey. You have your elders. Your elders are thinking about this. Your elders are praying. Pray for your elders. Pray for your next pastor who is coming, that can see the vision, that can see behind. I mean, Jericho was not the only city, a strong city. There's many more in the land of Israel. So don't be looking at, oh my gosh, what are we going to do here? This is, no. Be aware and have the discerning in God to go beyond Jericho, you know, the big giant, we can say. So it is, but requires what? It requires what? Grace, faith, and obedience. Therefore, Romans 5 says, Paul, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You bring the peace. And Josh brought the peace. The priest brought the peace as they walking, sounding the shofar. The ark was with them. Okay? And I cannot imagine day 3, day 4, day 5, and these soldiers, like, again with the walking? I'm sorry, I'm a clown. Sorry. Like, again? No, it's just, I would love to be that, not in the wall. I probably wouldn't be outside watching the soldiers, because I knew the wall was going to fall. But, you know, they say that by the falling of that wall, approximately 1,200, I don't know how they figured that out, but say that 1,200 soldiers died because they were in the wall, waiting for, just to being curious. Paparazzi, taking pictures with your cell phone, you know? But it is amazing, because nobody, they didn't care. They didn't believe that this is what they're doing. But they are listening to the shofar. And there is something about being quiet in front of the Lord that gives power and authority. Okay, and that's number 3. If you want to write this down. Number 3 is God's way is always in a supernatural power. Okay? Why God doesn't actually ask for us to do things and do it our way? Because he's the one that actually needs to receive the honor and the glory. You had an activity last night. I hope, my prayer was, I was actually in San Jose last night. In another, the church in, the EV Free Church in San Jose was doing the same. They were having the carnival, okay? And I was there with the Hispanic, we have a Hispanic pastor up there. And that's why I had to go back to San Jose, because it's so difficult to, it is difficult to fly into Fresno, okay? I use Southwest. I'm recording this? We're recording this, huh? This is a commercial. They're paying me for it. No. The airline that I use, from LA, it goes to Vegas and then to Fresno. And it takes 5 hours instead of, you know, 50 minutes. So it's like, okay, well, I had to go to San Jose, and I was in that. But my prayer last night, because I knew you're going to have something, is my prayer is, well, Lord, that the people can see that everything we do in this property honors God. It's not the human. It's not the elder. It's not the person. We honor God. And that should be, it should be something that people will see. I want people, when they come in, and that's my prayer for you, when new people come in, That, okay, well, great music. Oh, wow, beautiful building, beautiful room, comfortable chairs. But that they will remember what? That you love them. That you love them. And they might have, they might bring a lot of Jericho's walls, problems that they cannot figure out. Oh, maybe it's a time for to teach them that if we actually give it to God, He will take care. He will be in control. But God's way is a supernatural. And here's two words that I want you to remember or take note. The first one is a spiritual warfare. And I think it's in your bulletin. I don't know what is in your bulletin. But it's, the first one was the first instruction on the seventh day, the day of rest, and the last day, is that they are going to walk how many times? Not just one time. Seven times. Talking about being a fitness. I don't know how big this the city was. But the expert says that the walls were about close to 50 feet tall. Okay? And they walk around that city, and one of the oldest city on ancient times. And they walk and say, okay, this time it's not just one. It's going to be seven times. And here's the thing. There is going to be a blow of, the English version says, a long horn sound, you know? Okay, you know, they didn't have trumpet. It was not a trumpet. It was a shofar. Do you know what I'm talking about? A shofar? It's a horn. Okay? I have one. Because I do blow the shofar. I love doing that. Okay? And I wanted to bring it. But then I went to TSA. And TSA does not allow me to bring a shofar into the airplane. It's a weapon. Really? I can get in trouble. I had to check it in, and it's this long, so I don't want to check it in because it takes forever to get. I travel light, you know. So imagine a shofar, okay? And so here's in the Jewish Orthodox tradition. Okay, we don't do that, but in the Jewish Orthodox tradition, the rabbi can be every Saturday, every Shabbat, he goes out and he blows the horn. I don't need a shofar. And they believe that they do that to scare the devil. Okay? That is the tradition. Don't be accusing me that Alex is bring some crazy idea about the devil. No. Okay? But, you know, the sense of they believe that the shofar or the blowing of the shofar, because it's actually one of the commandments of the Old Testament, to blow the shofar, is to bring spiritual warfare awareness. Don't you think we need some... Is Clovis a holy land? It's not. Fresno... I remember 20 years ago, Fresno was a very complicated city with a gang activity. Working in downtown, in the inner city, Fresno. And that's where I used to live what is the name? The Tower District? Oh, see, do you remember that? Had you actually go down there? Still there, huh? That's where we lived the first 5 years, and then we moved higher, back to Fresno State area. But that was, and when I say, oh, we moved to the Tower District, people, oh, no, don't go there, you know. And yeah, we decided to buy a house up here close to Herndon, where in those days was the last frontier, because we got shot behind our house, shooting in the middle of the night. And I always say, okay, honey, it's time for us to go. This Jericho is too big. Let's go someplace else. But what I'm saying is, it's time, and we're not going to be blowing a shofar, but I think it's time for all of you. I encourage you to pray for your community. And I hope that you're doing it. I don't know if you actually do, but we in Southern California, we had this idea of walking, prayer walking, that we walk through. A lot of my people, my prayer warriors do that. They walk through the city in our neighborhoods and we pray. We pray for the people. We're not just shouting. No, we're not crazy that way. But we just pray and pray and pray. Because you have a neighborhood here, you know, and that all of you live in Clovis? Yeah? Fresno? Okay. Well, I think we need to do something in the spiritual, you know. Just pray. We're not going to be, tomorrow is Halloween, you know, all the days. So we need to continue be aware of praying. That creates something that is beautiful. And the second word I wanted to share with you in that third section is proclamation. There was a sound of shofar, and the instructions were when the priest blows the long shofar, which is actually in Hebrew is gadol, shofar gadol. That's the word in Hebrew, shofar gadol, which is a very long horn sound. And they say, that's what the Jewish people believe, is that at one point, and that actually is amazing because it's actually in the book of 1 Thessalonians. You know what Paul says about Paul says that at one point God is going to tell the angel to blow what? The horn, the trumpet in the Hebrew, in translation. But it's a shofar. And then what? Remember that? All the believers were going to hear it. Okay? So that is in the future. But today, we need to, you know, be aware that there is a spiritual warfare happening in this area. That we as priests, we need to pray. We're not going to be blowing shofars everywhere, but we need to pray, I think. But the second one is proclamation. Because once they sound the shofar, what was the instruction of the people? Adam, to shout. What did they shout? Jesus live. I don't know. You know? We don't know. But it was enough by faith. For what? To get those walls down. And they came out this way. They're facing, this is the city, this is the desert, and they came out this way, and they created a ramp for the people to move forward and take over the city. Wow. I wanted to be there. If I have a time machine, it's one of those days I would like to be. And see the power of God, the power of God through the faith of the people. I'm not going to ask you to shout today, okay? I did this exercise with my Hispanic congregation Friday night. And I did bring my shofar, and we blow the shofar. And we do have a service on Fridays. And they shout, Jesus is alive, you know. Cristo vive. And they love that. They were, okay, enough shouting. Just to relax. The walls are, the church is going to fall, okay? But I do believe that in today's, you ask me, what is that shout looks like in Clovis in 2022? Clovis EB Free? I would say worship. There's a better time to worship God when we're all together. And worship Him. What about proclaiming the wonderful thing that He has done in your home, in your house, in your family, in your life? I think there's power in our, because we confess, the Bible says, the New Testament, that we confess with our words the salvation that Jesus has done with us. But that has to start with each one of us. We should not be waiting for the next pastor to come to the church to start anything. We should start today. Amen to that? Amen. We can pray. He will hear our voice. We can testify we can worship with our mouth, and we can evangelize. What a concept. It begins with each one of us. It began with me. Caesar, you brought your family. You know, bring your friends. Here's what happened in many churches. My church went from 1,200 people to 200 in a period of time. Okay? And we blame everything. We blame the pastor. We blame, you know, because that's in our nature, blaming everything. We blame, oh, maybe the elders are not that holy. Or maybe the pastor is not that holy. Maybe the piano is not, we need a bigger piano. Maybe that too is red. Ooh, what is going on here? See, because I can bring and criticize everything here, right? I almost blow my ear with that. So I'm going to move a little bit closer. I don't like the color of this place. I mean, I can, you know, you got it? That your worship, their greeting time was too long. Spreading germs and stuff. You know, we're in COVID. You know what I'm saying? People, you know, we can go in that spirit instead of obeying, instead of doing what we need to do. But I would say that when you are centralized on God and you begin to look, okay, God, what is it that you want us to do? Okay? What is it that you want us to do as a church? My church, and I can say it because I was there. I've been there for 20 years in that church, and I had the right to say, even though we were recording, I'm not getting in trouble. I'm not going to say anything about my church. But what I'm going to say about my church is the people lost the passion, and the enthusiasm to invite people with them. And I asked that around, how can you not excited about asking? Because that's what happened when we were 1,200 people. That people are so excited about what was happening on Sunday morning and all the activities that they couldn't wait to invite their neighbor. And we have this and we have this and they were excited. Because it was not the pastor and it was not the worship. It was each one of us inviting people. And we lost that. And in the book of Revelation says we kind of love our first love. That was my church. I'm not saying that's you. But I think it goes, every church has their seasons. Okay? So what is that going to take? I could discuss that end because I'm looking at the, I cannot see the clock. what is going to take for Clovis EB Free Church to go back to that first love? That you are actually excited of bringing friends over, your neighbors, your family, because there are good things happening in this church. If you had that spirit of criticizing everything, go and have a 7 weeks, 7 days of walking around Jericho. That's going to make you change your attitude. Because I do believe that this church doesn't belong to you. I'm sorry. It doesn't belong to me. It belongs to Jesus. And if we go in that direction, I'm not going to be invited again, but I'm going to come and visit one of these days. And I would love to see this church growing. But not just growing in numbers, growing in fellowship, growing in passion, and growing in obedience, that we can actually do some damage. Let's turn some, what is it, President Reagan? That's the one he says? Reagan? Mr. Gorbachev? Turn down these walls! I scare you? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this amazing story of your faithfulness, of your authority. A story of people obeying you without questions. Lord, we live in an era 2,000 years later where you had died and resurrected that we looks like we complain about everything. It looks like we question everything you do. Sometimes we even question that you are here. Sometimes we question your action in our life. So Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters in this community, in this church, in this beautiful property, that we can actually sit down and have a walk with you. That we can actually listen to you. You have been talking to us. I want to be sincere and obey you. No questions. Because I know you know better. And your thoughts and your ways are better than my ways. So a special blessing for my family here, that this church can bring light, love. When people start coming to this church, that they can see that there is something special in this church because we follow you. So Lord, thank you. Thank you for this time together and and your words talking to us. In Jesus Christ. Amen.